This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. There is none so worthy as you. There is none so worthy as you. There is none so worthy, there is none so true, there is none so worthy as you. Amen. Good morning. I have some photos to show to you today of a very important person, especially in light of where we are. If we could show the first photo. Anybody have any idea who that is? Let's try the second one, same person. Blank stares from the congregation. Third photo. Blank stares. Wow, you did your homework.
No, I didn't do my homework. It looks like a Warren
key. No, it's not a Warren key.
Oh, okay.
But let me tell you the person's name. His name is Donald McClough. And I still get blank stares, so let me tell you a story that will bring it all home. Donald McClough was the founder and owner of McClough Steel Company in Pennsylvania. They made a fortune, and in his later years started to vacation in southern Florida in a place called Boynton Beach. And Donald McClough decided that he was going to purchase acreage on what was in those days known as Mission Hill, and he was going to donate all of those acres with the specific purpose that whoever he gave the land to, they would build a church on Mission Hill. It is because of Donald McClough that we are here today. Donald McClough gave the land to the Episcopal Church, to this diocese, on which St. Joseph's, where we now sit and worship, for the past 60 years. He died in 1954. Guess what? He wasn't even an Episcopalian. Pretty amazing. Now, with that understanding of this gentleman, let's pretend for a second that he didn't have a heart attack and die in 1954, and he's still alive today, and he walks through the narthex into the church this morning to celebrate the 9:30 service with us. What type of a reception do you think we would give him knowing who he is? Yeah, pretty amazing. I think we'd all be on our feet. I think we'd all be saying, thank you, Donald McClough, for what you have given to so many people over the past 60 years. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because I think it helps us to understand the gospel today. We hear the story of a man whose slave was sick. Now, to understand this, let me take you back to the beginning of Mark's gospel that we heard last year. The beginning of Mark's gospel last year, Jesus goes and he chooses his first four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, John. And Mark tells us in those initial chapters about Jesus going to a synagogue to preach. Does anybody remember where the synagogue was? Capernaum. First slide. There are the ruins of the synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus preached. It is also in that synagogue where on that day there was a man with an unclean spirit that Jesus casts out and cures him. We go to the next slide. You get an idea of what that synagogue would have looked like. And we go to the next slide. And you see the sign there that talks about what is now there, the 4th century synagogue built on top of that synagogue. Go to the next slide and you get the overview. And if you could see the Sea of Galilee in the top part of the slide, this is on the northern coast. You can see that there is a round structure towards the water. That is a church that was built over a house. And then down towards the center, the wider structure is the ruins of that synagogue where Jesus preached. Now, if you remember Mark's gospel, if you go to the next slide, please. 30 of you have been there. 30 of you visited there when Ramon McLuve took us there as part of our Holy Land pilgrimage. Next slide. You start to see some of the ruins that are in between the synagogue and where that church was built. And the church was built there because if you remember Mark's gospel, he goes and he preaches and Jesus goes over to Peter's mother-in-law's house that same day and cures her of a sickness that she has. Okay, we just scroll through these next slides and you can see more of the ruins of that area that are still there. There is the church built on top of where Peter's mother-in-law's house was. Next slide. There you see underneath. So that's the base of the church. The floor is above there. And here is where those houses would have been. Next slide. There's the house itself. Next slide. Okay. Now, how do I bring this together? It's very simple. The centurion in this gospel story today, they say he is worthy. Why did they say he was worthy? He built our synagogue for us. Where are they in this story today? Capernaum. What synagogue are we talking about in the gospel today? This very synagogue. This was a synagogue where Jesus preached. This is the synagogue where Peter's mother-in-law would have worshipped. This is my mother-in-law's church. Pretty important. Pretty special. Now, with that as an understanding, if we go to our own Donald McLauf example, it's pretty understandable how these people would say to Jesus, "This guy is worthy. He built the synagogue for us, the place where we worship every week. And he's not even one of us. He's a Roman oppressor. And yet he loves us." Now, to me, that makes all the difference in the understanding of what's going on here. This is pretty amazing. Worthy. We get into such problems when we start talking about worthiness. Churches around the world, all of these arguments we're having about all these crazy different issues, what does it come down to? Who's worthy and who's not? Worthiness is a problem throughout the Bible. I mean, you can go back to Isaiah, and Isaiah, "I'm not worthy. I'm a man of unclean lips, living amongst the people of unclean lips." But he links himself up to God, and he's made worthy. Moses, "I got a speech impediment, God. I'm not worthy. Go get Aaron, my brother. He's a better speaker." But he links himself up to God, and God makes him worthy. Go to the New Testament, John the Baptist. "I'm not even worthy."